The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
In these winter months, consider tripinsurance.com to cover your next cruise investment. Buy direct from the leading insurers and save up to 40% or more on comparable plans from the other sites. Get a quote today and save from tripinsurance.com.
Here we go. Broadcasting from the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. This is Cruise Radio.
Hey there, my name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Gotta tell you, loving your emails. You can always email me, doug@cruiseradio.net. Loving your feedback, loving your thoughts, loving your reviews. Keep them coming. I answer every single email. So once again, thank you so much for all of your kind feedback. Don't forget to check out our Facebook group, Cruise Radio News. Just type in Cruise Radio News in Facebook and come join the cruise conversation there. Also, our new show, River Cruise Radio. Yeah, you can find it the same way that you listen to this show, either on iTunes, Stitcher Radio Network, or TuneIn Radio Network, or you could always listen to it on our website, rivercruiseradio.net. All right, so we get a lot of questions here on the show, and of course, I always can't answer all of them, and when I can't, I'll bring in an expert like Sherry from cruisetipstv.com. She joins us on the line. How you doing, Sherry?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so we're going to just dive right in here. And our first question says, why book a guaranteed cabin? Now, before we get to why book it, tell us what a guaranteed cabin is.
Well, a guaranteed cabin is when you allow the cruise line to choose the cabin for you. So you pick the category and you let them pick the location at the last minute.
What's the benefit of booking a cabin like this?
Well, if you're the gambling type, sometimes you can save money by booking a guarantee cabin. That would be the number one benefit. And if you're really super lucky, if someone's sprinkling the fairy dust over your cruise booking, you could potentially score an upgrade to a better cabin within the category you booked, or even to a higher cabin category. Like maybe you could go from an outside cabin to a balcony, for example. But of course, there's no guarantee of that. So you really have to make sure that the discount is worth the risk. You know, you want this to be quite a bit cheaper, like hundreds of dollars cheaper, hopefully, so that, you know, the price justifies the gamble here.
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago, and I booked I think the small cabins on the Carnival ships are called 1A, and I booked a guaranteed 1A cabin. And when I got there, I got a deluxe ocean view. It was a G2I cabin. I'm like, yes! Talking about the guaranteed cabin, sometimes we'll find price drops with a guaranteed cabin. Do you have any tips for that?
Definitely. I would actually prefer to book the cabin that I like and watch for a price drop later. Because, you know, guaranteed cabins are really best for people who are super flexible and are willing to gamble on what cabin you'll end up with. You know, also, if you're not going to spend a lot of time in your cabin and you just don't care, that could work too. But if you think about what a guarantee cabin is, it's really just what's left over after everybody else chooses their cabin. So you could end up near an elevator, you could end up in a noisy spot, maybe over an anchor or near a tender or something that you don't care for. So I'm more of a fan of booking in the category you want and then just watching for those price drops or letting your travel agent watch for you.
Yeah, so moral of the story, if you don't care where you are, as long as you're on the ship, it might be a good idea just to book a guarantee cabin. You'll save more money that way. If you're very picky where you want to be, you want to be by the stairwell or want to be by the elevator, then book far in advance and book a guaranteed cabin, correct?
Yeah, I think that's good advice. And you'll notice some cruise lines offer very different prices for guarantee cabins, and some are just no different. In fact, I was on Carnival's website a few days ago, and I noticed that their guarantee cabin price for an inside, for example, was exactly the same as the choose your own type. So make sure that the cost benefit ratio is there for you.
All right, our next question says, how do I avoid roaming charges at sea if I have an Android or iPhone?
Well, the best way to protect yourself from roaming charges is just to pop your phone in airplane mode right after the muster drill. That's my habit. That's the way I do it. Now, if you're going to be using the ship's Wi-Fi, you'll likely start by putting the phone in airplane mode anyway. So it's a good habit to do that. But as soon as you sail away, your phone is going to go into roaming mode. So that's probably the first place to start. The second thing you can do is, depending on where your cruise is headed, It's really smart just to get on the phone with your cell phone provider before you sail, because they may be able to offer you discounted data, text, and maybe even calling charges from foreign countries, so you can switch your phone back into regular mode while in port and take advantage of that. And they might even have a special cruise ship plan that you can buy, but just don't expect it to be too cheap. They definitely aren't going to be, you know, rock bottom prices, but there's no doubt that that will be cheaper than those roaming fees.
Have you ever had any surprise cell phone bills coming home from a cruise?
No, because I'm one of those paranoid people that goes, I go hardcore in the airplane mode. I just don't want to take any risks. Yeah.
So when I got my first iPhone back in 2007 or 8, I was on a cruise, a 3-night cruise with some buddies. I got back and my cell phone bill was $586.
And no.
I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I do? So it turns out I wasn't using my phone, but I had the background refresh on. And so it was doing like background updating and pulling down email and all that stuff while it was on cellular at CNetwork. So I was getting charged like some ungodly amount, like $20 a meg for data the whole entire cruise.
Oh,
and so
no.
I call AT&T and I'm like, I just got this phone. I have no clue what I'm doing. I can't afford this, blah, blah, blah. So they wound up chopping it like in half, but still, yeah. Very good. Very good lesson learned there. Next question says, why should I book my next cruise on board?
Well, lots of cruise lines like Princess, for example, offer special reduced deposit offers and extra onboard credit that you can only secure on board. And the best part about it is they usually throw in some onboard credit too. And it's really, Doug, it really is a no strings attached type of a perk. On some cruise lines, you don't even need to, you know, choose the date that you'll cruise. They'll leave it totally open-ended for you and let you transfer it even on return to your travel agent. So you can even combine it with future promotions. You just want to watch to make sure that that onboard booking credit doesn't expire too quickly. So, you know, if you can't jump back on a cruise line within 2 years and you're putting down a deposit, that may not be such a good idea. But usually they give you about 2 years to book it, so it's not an issue.
Are these the same things that they call a future cruise credit?
Yes, absolutely.
Same thing. Yeah, gotcha. Now, what's the most you've seen offered?
I've seen up to about $300. Now, usually those are for really long voyages. So they range generally from about $50 to $300. And when we book a balcony, generally with Princess, that's where I have the most experience with this, we usually end up with about $100 to $200 credit for the stateroom.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Worth it.
Yeah, free money for booking your cruise on board. Okay.
Right.
So let's move on to the next one here. I'm asking this next question selfishly because it impacts me so much every single sailing. And that is, how can I avoid gaining weight on my cruise? I take the stairs. I do everything that people say. I still gain weight. Any ideas?
Oh, I totally cracked up when I saw this, and I thought of you because I'm always hearing you talk about your Six Guys burgers and the fact that you love to eat on board. And who doesn't? I mean, of course, but will you gain weight? Well, not necessarily. I mean, we all know that cruises are famous for offering something to eat around every corner, but the reality is the ships are huge too. So if you choose to walk a lot, and if we're like you and we take the stairs and skip the elevators, you might find that you go home in better shape than when you came. But it depends on the choices you make. I mean, for me, the longer the cruise, the more I kind of relax into it and tend to splurge on things. We go to afternoon tea and we have scones. You have an afternoon slice of pizza because swimming really got you hungry. But, you know, the reality is there's tons of good food choices on board, too. So you can really eat healthy. We've recently tried to challenge ourselves to make more healthy choices on board because I don't really want to pack on 2 pounds every time I cruise. I mean, if we're going at that rate, that's going to be a problem. I'm 5 feet tall. Can't do that. So I think that the thing you really have to watch, though, when you cruise, it's the drinking.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have a 10 a.m. Bloody Mary at home, but we do these types of things on the cruise, and it just really adds up. So, you know, you can look for those salad bars. You can look for the healthy choices. You can even go with gourmet choices that are really healthy on a cruise. So I kind of look at it as a fun challenge.
Did I read somewhere that you try to get in 20,000 steps a day?
Yeah, I tried. On my last cruise, we did a no weight gain challenge, and I tried to do 20,000 a day. It didn't actually work. I only got up to about 19,000 on my best day. But what was happening is I was taking off my Garmin, my little, you know, step counter when I would go swimming or do something in the water. So for 3 or 4 hours a day, all of that activity wasn't being accounted for. But I walked 26 miles in 4 days. So I think we still did. We still did okay.
That's not bad for a fantasy class ship.
Not bad, but that is part of the problem, too. They're smaller ships, so you don't walk as much.
Very last question we have. How inclusive are cruise itineraries?
I don't really like to refer to cruises as all-inclusive because I think people always think about resort vacation all-inclusive. So it's not apples to apples. You know, when you think of resort all-inclusive, you think your alcohol is going to be included. So let's just say that they're relatively inclusive, meaning you're going to get more out of a cruise vacation than a basic hotel vacation where you have to pay for everything from your hotel room to your meals and entertainment, your shows, all of that. But again, unlike an inclusive resort, you're not going to get free alcoholic drinks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we're talking about the mass market cruise lines, most of the lines offer the same stuff. So the included things are going to be the cruise itself, right? The transportation, your room, the food in the main dining room and buffet, and basic beverages, water, lemonade, iced tea, coffee, and the onboard activities. And then, of course, the not so included things tend to be the same across the lines, unless you've booked one of those special perk deals. So the not so free stuff, gratuities, alcohol, most of the shore excursions and activities, and of course, you know, your parking and your travel to and from the ship.
Yeah, you know what? People always say, oh my gosh, that's so expensive. But when you break it down, like, so I'm in Florida, so we always do Disney World a lot. And, you know, when you count in, like, three nights on property at Disney, that's like $400 or $500. You figure park tickets for two people for a couple of days, that's $400. Dining, $200. If you go to a bar or a nightclub and have a few drinks, that's $100. You're talking over $1,000. And sometimes you can do a three- or four-night cruise for like $500 for a couple.
Totally.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that it's more economical. It's just a matter of being a smart shopper.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for that all-inclusive experience too, you may want to go like step up a level to like a premium cruise line or an ultra premium, or look at like Norwegian Sky that has the open bar program down in Miami on all their ships, or Norwegian also has the, what are they calling it? Like the, you basically get a all-inclusive drink package with your fare, like a pick one or pick two type deal.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I think the Norwegian's really smart to do that because it's probably increasing their bookings quite a bit. I think we have to caution people to though, watch that cruise price because nothing's free, right, Doug?
Yeah.
I mean, we have to be careful. And I've seen their prices go up a little bit over the last few years. When we first booked that perk package with them, I think it was a total steal. We got one of those mini suites for three of us, $2,100, and we chose the unlimited dining package. And that's a really good deal. But this year, I'm seeing them a little closer to maybe $2,600 or $2,700 with the same perks. So I think that the industry is reacting a little bit to the popularity of that program.
We've been talking with Sherry from Cruise Tips TV. If you ever have any questions, feel free to email me, doug@cruiseradio.net, and we'll get them answered by an expert like Sherry. Sherry, thank you so much for being on the show and taking the time to answer the questions today.
Thank you so much, Doug.
You're listening to Cruise Radio, part of the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
From its rich heritage, picturesque beaches, and unparalleled blue waters, it's no wonder over 7 million people cruise to the Caribbean every year. What do you want to do? Swim with stingrays at Stingray Bay? Go for an island tour? Take a beach break? Or set sail on a catamaran to spend the day snorkeling? Whatever you decide, cruisingexcursions.com has a shore excursion to fit your budget. Cruising Excursions knows your time on the island is limited and that you want to make the most of your day. That's why they have shore excursions up to 60% cheaper than the cruise lines and offer smaller, more personable tours. Find out for yourself. Research and book your next shore excursion at cruisingexcursions.com.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon.
Have a question for the experts, or would you like to talk about your cruise or vacation experience, good or bad? Email comments at cruiseradio.net.
Right now. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Always great to talk to you. So let's take a step back before we get to Majesty of the Seas. And what were your pre-cruise thoughts? What made you want to sail this four-night sailing?
Okay, well, I have a girlfriend that had never been on a cruise before. So I, having have some cruise history and experience, I thought about what would be a first good cruise for her. You know, something not long, convenient to get to, kind of just a little sampler. And I, you know, I didn't want to drive all the way down to Fort Lauderdale or Miami. So I was looking at Tampa and Port Canaveral, and I was like, oh, there's a you know, there's a 4-day cruise. That looks good. I had never been on Majesty of the Seas yet. And so that's why I chose that one, because I thought it was a good choice for my girlfriend's first cruise.
Just curious, because you just got off of an Oasis class ship a couple of months ago. Did you have like big expectations for this ship, even though it's one of the smallest ships in the fleet?
Yes, I was. I was like, oh my, because I know, you know, Allure of the Seas has a lot of bells and whistles, and it's okay that Majesty does not. You know, I had heard that it doesn't, you know, it's just kind of like a relaxation kind of cruise, which is good, because it was kind of, I didn't want to overwhelm my friend for her first cruise of having so many things on the ship.
So you make your way down to Port Canaveral. How was embarkation?
Oh, it was great. We had parked our car at Park and Cruise, which I highly recommend, because, you know, if you're driving, if you're close enough to drive, there's a lot of good choices of where to park your car. Parking at the port is about $20 a day. So,
wow. Yeah.
You know, even for a 4-day, that can add up. And it was like $8.95 a day to park the car at Park and Cruise. We got on the shuttle and they got our bags and we got to the port. And as soon as we got to the port, they took our bags from us. And inside the terminal, we went with Royal Caribbean. If you belong to their Crown and Anchor Society, after one cruise, you become a gold member. And for the Crown and Anchor Society members, they have priority boarding on embarkation day. So basically, we checked in and walked straight on the ship.
That sounds awesome. How long would you say it took from the curb to the gangway?
15 minutes.
Oh, that's very short. That's awesome.
We got there a little bit later. So we got there probably about 11:30, which I usually like to get to the port between 10 and 10:30. But we basically hopped off the shuttle at 11:30, and we were completely on the ship by 12 o'clock.
You gotta love that. So you make your way on board Majesty of the Seas. What were your first impressions of the ship?
You know, it's definitely smaller than the Oasis class, but it looked very great on the inside. They have the Centurium there. They don't really have like a promenade like the bigger ships do, but the Centurium's right there. They've got music playing, and you walk on and you're greeted by all the Royal Caribbean staff, and they're just so friendly and, you know, asking if you need any help or directions. And it was great.
Do you have a tradition when you walk on the ship? Like, what's the first thing you do?
I find food.
Okay. Like me.
Yeah. I was like, okay, it's lunchtime. Where are we going to go? Right. So normally, you know, my thing is I try to stay away from the windjammer on embarkation day because it can be a little jammed up. But since it was my friend's first cruise, I wanted her to really experience the true tradition of eating your first lunch in the windjammer. So that's where we went. And it's very easy to get to from the Centurium.
So you make your way to your stateroom. What were your thoughts of your stateroom on this ship?
We had a ocean view stateroom, and it is an older ship. So with that being said, it is kind of cramped in there. We had the bed separated. So that kind of actually helped out a little bit as far as moving around.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was still nice. It was still nice. It was just, you know, I think it's 120 square feet in there. Yeah.
Okay.
The bathroom felt really, really small because it's an older ship. So I kind of knew to expect that.
Yeah, and plus you're only, what, sleeping and showering in there anyway, so you're pretty much
exactly getting
the run of the ship any other time during the cruise. So let's switch gears and talk about dining aboard Majesty of the Seas. Of course, like you said, it is an older ship, so it doesn't have a lot of the new Royal Caribbean venues. It has, like, the main dining room, the Sorrento's area, Johnny Rockets, and the Windjammer. What did you think of the food overall?
I thought it was great. I really did. We pretty much just wanted to eat in the main dining room. We did Sorrento's a couple nights, and it was really, really good. We didn't get a chance to go by Johnny Rockets just because I don't, you know, I wasn't in a burger and fry kind of mood.
Sure.
I liked the choices that the Windjammer offered, actually, of just the different kinds of foods. They had, you know, Indian and Asian and American, and so I liked having the choice.
Cool. Now, the main dining room, what time dining did you have?
I had 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, and how was that experience for you?
It was good. It was really good. The only thing with 6 o'clock is I like to see the sunset, and you're kind of stuck in the main dining room, unfortunately.
Yeah.
that's my only downside, but I kind of like having the earlier dinner just because you can kind of get done with your meal and, you know, get on with your evening.
And walk off all those calories, too.
Yes, exactly.
Let's switch gears and talk about entertainment here for Majesty of the Seas. How was the entertainment for you?
It was good. We saw The Comedian one night, and they had a production show. We kind of missed that because we went to go see karaoke, which is always entertaining. But surprisingly enough, with the karaoke, there's some really good singers this cruise.
That's funny. Did you sing?
Yeah. No. I figured I'd just kind of be a watcher and, you know, just their brave soul.
Right. How was The Comedian?
He was funny. He kind of was an entertainer kind of comedian. And one of the nights, I don't know if he was the actual comedian, but he was doing a unicycle.
Okay.
He maybe was one of the performers.
Okay, interesting.
But he kind of threw in a little comedian in there with a little trickery.
Cool. And, of course, one of the highlights of your entertainment was the Quest show on Majesty. So for the listeners who don't know what the Quest show is with Royal Caribbean, paint that picture for us and tell us what that's all about.
Basically, the Quest show is an 18 and older show. It's an adult scavenger hunt. On Majesty, it was held in the Spectrum Lounge. Usually, they try to pick a bigger venue with dance floor involved so you can, you know, walk up on the dance floor. They don't usually like to do, like, the Chorus Line Theater because there's a stage and that's too hard to navigate. So usually when they have the Quest game on the Royal Caribbean ships, there's some kind of floor involved. So it has to be like a bigger venue. And they ask for certain items and then they ask you to do certain actions. And with it being an 18 and older show, you think about some of this stuff can be risque. So it's a lot of fun, though. It is actually a lot of fun. I actually had the opportunity for the very first time to be one of the captains. They divide the room into sections or teams. And you have a male captain and you have a female captain. And they ask for certain items. And so the male and the female captain ask their team for those items. Anybody in their, you know, in their section, give me this so I can, and that you run up to the activity director with your number in hand and whatever item they are asking for. So.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's something that we could talk about it, but unless you're actually playing it, you have to be there because we were talking before we started recording. There's pictures of me doing the Quest game that I basically could never run for president because of these photos. Well, among other things, but I mean, that's one of the reasons why I couldn't run for president. But yeah, it's a crazy game, so awesome, and I wish you could have Periscoped it. Speaking of Periscope, you were doing a lot of live streaming from the ship. How was the internet aboard Majesty of the Seas?
It was good, but then it wasn't good. I got the Surf and Stream package. With Voom, there's two levels of the Voom package. You basically have the lower package, which was just the surf. You can get on the internet, you can get on Facebook, check your mail. You can do all that with the surf. But in order to live stream video and actually watch videos, you have to have the Surf and Stream, which is the higher package. I think it was like $17 a day for the Surf and Stream. And that's obviously the one I had purchased because I do Periscope from the ships. I like to Periscope the activities and show my fellow cruisers, you know, the ship and the activities. And you can kind of see what the ship is like in live streaming video. And there was a few times where I had to try to connect and it would say poor signal. I couldn't stream, so I had to kind of walk around until the signal got stronger. There was opportunities where I wanted to watch other people's Periscope and I was not able to at all. Unfortunately, I was able to Periscope, but I also wanted to watch some of the other people's Periscopes and I could not.
That's funny. So you want to watch other people's cruise from your cruise. That's awesome.
Yes.
That's so funny.
Because there was somebody on Oasis of the Seas while I was on Majesty. And we were kind of, you know, having dueling scopes. He would scope and then I would scope and we'd watch each other scope.
That's so funny. Let's talk about the ports of call. So you did Nassau, Bahamas, and Coco Cay on this four-night sailing, and you had one sea day. So how was the ship at sea when you had all those people on board going from one destination to another?
It was definitely way crowded because the one thing on the Oasis class is, yes, it has 6,000 people, but the ship is so big that on sea days, there's so many choices and pools, and it doesn't feel crowded. On Majesty, there's only one pool. So on a sea day, I didn't even get into the pool.
Oh, wow.
I am sad to report. I was at the pool for the belly flop contest, but it was so crowded that I just skipped the pool this cruise.
How was the dining areas during the sea days?
The dining areas were actually good. Just the Windjammer was obviously a lot more crowded. But if you chose it at the right time, not at the mad rush, you know, which is like 12 o'clock, 11, 12 o'clock for lunch. Mm-hmm. If you kind of went at like maybe 2 or 3, it was a little bit better.
Okay, not bad. So your two ports you hit on this sailing, Coco Cay and Nassau, which one was your favorite?
I actually have to say the Coco Cay because it was kind of like our beach day.
Mm-hmm.
I had actually rented a lounger, and the loungers on Coco Cay, when I booked them online, they were $59. And what you're supposed to get with the lounger is a cooler with water in it and some fruit and some towels. Unfortunately, I got out to my lounger, and they said that Royal Caribbean had changed their policy with the loungers and taken all the amenities away. Hmm. And just for the lounger, it was $45. And they did have a piece of paper that was attached to my excursion paperwork, but I did not notice it until I got out to the excursion.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I mean, and it was my friend's first cruise, so I just kind of went with the flow. I'm like, okay, well, we'll just kind of hang out here for a little bit. One of the neat things about the loungers, though, at Coco Cay is they have this new floating bar out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's brand new. It's about 2 months old. It's kind of cool. You can actually walk out to it. That is located right in front of the loungers. So that was really neat. Go out there and hang out at the floating bar out in the middle of the ocean there in Coco Cay.
Yeah, that's really cool. Now, anything else that you do, or do you just pretty much, like you said, treat it as a beach day and just kind of chill out in the water and lounge around?
Yeah, it was just a beach day. We figured we'd do a beach day. We got into the water and just, you know, it was hot. We probably went back about 1:30 or 2.
How long do they stay there for?
They were there from 8, and all on board was 4:30.
That's a pretty nice day then.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Yeah, for sure. Not bad at all. So you make your way back to Port Canaveral. How was disembarkation for you?
Disembarkation was very good. We had our luggage tags were ticket number 12, and they call you according to number. We got up. It was probably about 7 a.m. Went and ate breakfast in the main dining room because my friend liked to eat breakfast. We had breakfast one morning in the Windjammer. And, you know, it was very crazy. But then I showed her, I'm like, well, this is the other dining experience. You can eat breakfast in the main dining room. And she's like, oh, yes, this is much more my speed.
Mm-hmm.
So we had breakfast in the main dining room and kind of strolled around up on deck about 8:30. And 9 o'clock was our disembarkation time. One of my major tips about disembarkation and Royal Caribbean is use a porter because they have the zigzaggy line at Port Canaveral and you're in that line forever. But if you use a porter, they take your bags and you go to this very short little line and you're out the door.
That's something good enough.
I was maybe, yeah, it was from the time we got off the ship to getting to the curb where our shuttle was, it was probably like maybe 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, you can't beat
that. Which was not bad at all.
Yeah.
No, it was wonderful. I highly recommend, you know, being females, we like to bring a lot of clothes and shoes, mm-hmm. obviously. So I had a large suitcase, a smaller suitcase, and a garment bag. And my friend had a larger suitcase and a smaller suitcase. So between the two of us, we had 5 suitcases. And so, you know, trying to lug all of that out to the curb is not an easy task. So I made sure to save money. It was like we tipped basically like a dollar a bag.
Okay.
I mean, some people tip more, so, you know, but I think, you know, you have to at least give a dollar a bag.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I think we gave a couple dollars more because our bags were kind of heavy. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, I was being fair with my tip with a porter. I always use a porter because I don't want to stand in that zigzaggy line trying to drag five bags. You know, it's just, I don't do it.
I love the fact that you're just fresh off the boat. You just got off the ship today and you're already booked again for February. That's awesome.
I know. I know. It's just the true life of a cruising addict is if you're not on a cruise, you're thinking about a cruise. And if you're thinking about a cruise, you're booking a cruise. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. We've been talking with Kathy. She just returned from a four-night Bahamas cruise aboard Royal Caribbean's Majesty of the Seas. Kathy, thanks so much for sharing your review and being on with me this evening.
Thank you so much for having me.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you a peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
Cruise Radio is produced weekly at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Hear Cruise Radio on iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Overseas Radio Network, iTunes, or at cruiseradio.net. For sales and marketing opportunities, email sales@cruiseradio.net.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.